This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, if you're seeing a shortage of lettuce at your grocery store shelves, that might be because of too much rain. Over the last several years, California farmers have been plagued by drought. However, the problem this year is too much rain, which may be putting a squeeze on the nation's salad supplies. A Bloomberg report says it may take until sometime in May before the nation's grocery store shelves are fully stocked with salads again. Unusually warm weather meant an early end to the winter growing season in Southern California and Western Arizona. The warm weather was followed by unusually heavy rains that pushed back planting dates along the coastal areas of California, which is the largest fruit and vegetable producer in the country. The delays have led to shortfalls of crops like lettuce and broccoli, sending wholesale prices much higher. For example, the cost of a carton of 30 celery heads has almost tripled to $25. A senior produce analyst with Rabobank in Fresno, California, says prices may remain volatile and relatively elevated through mid-May. In other ag news, lending activity at ag banks across the country continued to decline in the first quarter of 2017. A report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says economic conditions in the farm sector are still weak, so borrowers and lenders have worked together to make adjustments in financing ag production across America. Ag lenders are making more adjustments to loan terms because of heightened risk in the ag sector. For example, the report says revenues from agricultural production are expected to decline again this year. Farm incomes from corn, soybeans, wheat, and cattle are expected to drop by 5% compared to 2016. Some producers are making adjustments in the cost of their inputs when they can, and the reduced amount of producer spending likely has contributed to reductions in the volume of new farm loans. The overall volume of non-real estate farm loans in the first quarter of this year dropped 16% from 2016. The survey of terms of bank lending to farmers showed the decrease in the first quarter as the sixth consecutive year-over-year decline in the volume of new non-real estate farm loans and followed a significant drop in the fourth quarter of 2016. Well, the so-called five-second rule for food that's dropped on the floor has been scientifically debunked, according to Lindsay Stevenson, who's a nutrition and health specialist for University of Missouri Extension. A recent study from Tufts University Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy conducted an extensive test on the idea that food touching the floor for no more than a few seconds is still safe to eat. In the Tufts study, researchers dropped various food items on different surfaces from less than a second up to 5 seconds. They then measured the food items for bacterial contamination. Of the foods tested, watermelons soaked up the most bacteria, while gummy candy picked up the least. Similarly, tile or steel flooring transferred bacteria more readily than carpet flooring. While the study did find that longer contact on contaminated surfaces increased the transfer of bacteria to the food item, the results also show that the type of service and food do matter. Stevenson said that we can't make a blanket statement like the 5-second rule that implies all foods are safe to eat if picked up within 5 seconds, because it's simply not true. And we'll be back with more ag news right after these messages. The Highland FFA chapter held its annual banquet last week with a turnout of over 200 people, including FFA members, school board members, local businesses, farmers, and community members. The chapter has had a busy and successful school year, and I took a few minutes to visit with one of their three advisors, Mrs. Renee Barr. Renee, what a great event, and we're celebrating many years for the FFA chapter.
Yep, we've been established since 1932, so this is our 85th anniversary, so it's a big year for us.
Very big, quite the turnout, a great event. Tell us a little bit about the planning that went into it, and I'm sure there's some people that you want to thank. I know you probably can't remember all of them, but it was a wonderful evening.
Yeah, this planning actually starts, well, back in August at our officer retreat. We start kicking out ideas and things we want to do, and it just kind of keeps developing. The huge major planning starts January, I guess I would say. We kind of have deadlines, you know, since August that we meet, but January and February we really start hitting it. And then once April gets here, we're pretty much all stressed out and ready for it to be here. But there's a lot of people that put in a lot of effort to this. The officers have put in a tremendous amount of work, and we have some incoming officers that also helped out a lot, and a lot of other officers and members that just come and help set up. We've had some alumni members and parents come in and help set up, and it's been very much a huge community chapter effort to get everything squared away.
Well, I can tell by the turnout this evening that it is a community effort, and you must have a great relationship with the community.
Yeah, we don't survive without our community. Parents, our school administrators, our teachers, local businesses, everybody. Highland is a very big and supportive community of our FFA chapter, and we are very blessed and thankful to have the group that we do helping us.
Well, it's awesome, and it shows, and I hope it continues. One of the main things that I was so impressed with, not only the turnout, but you've got to have a lot of kids participating in FFA by the numbers that were here tonight, and it's kind of unique. Highland has 3 advisors. You don't see that at every school.
Yeah, we've got 75 members. We're actually down a little bit this year. Usually we're right around 100, but it kind of fluctuates every now and then. And we are very blessed to have 3 advisors. We owe that to our school district for allowing us to have that many. It definitely takes all 3 of us to get done what we do. We put in a lot of work and a lot of extra time, and it's a big job for the 3 of us.
How is the workload divided? What do you teach? And then the other 2, if you want to explain that at all.
Sure. As far as classroom goes, honestly, we all share shop classes because the 3 of us, because of budget cuts and things, we had to take some cuts to our department. So the 3 of us now share our industrial arts teacher position, basically, and then teach ag also. Mr. Jones kind of focuses on the ag mechanics side of things. Mr. Schmitz focuses on the horticulture and ag business, and then I focus on the ag science and the animal science side of things. And as far as FFA goes, it's pretty much all 3 of us hardcore nonstop as far as time being put in and taking kids to anywhere. It's all 3 of us. So.
And you've got a lot of participation in FFA contests, record books. Several members were receiving awards this year. Just, it's going really well, I guess.
Yeah, it's always, record books are always kind of a struggle no matter what year it is, because it's not something that kids are just jumping for joy to do, but we make it work, and we really stress the importance of that, because most of the time they don't really understand what they're going to learn until it's 4 years down the road and they're out of high school, and they can look back and they understand how much they do really learn from those. We just have a great group of kids, a huge incoming green hand group, which is really exciting, and we're hoping that they just kind of continue to carry that momentum all the way through high school.
Highland FFA advisor Renee Barr. And that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.